Hey, welcome to the 13th episode of our Transportation Management podcast. This episode is about the Transportation Management Network. And my name's Thomas Quintus. I'm a Scrum Master in the Freight Order Management team.
Yeah, my name is Bernd Dietrich. I'm also in a Freight Order Management team, and I'm a consumer of the Transportation Network / Geography. Of TM, and I try to learn something more about that today.
My name is Markus Zahn. I'm the responsible architect for the transportation network, and some parts of the network have been developed by myself.
And I'm Mike Burke with consulting, currently on a fellowship with the development team, and I've worked extensively with both Bernd and Markus on this whole topic in kind of the real world.
Yeah. So, very happy to have Mike here as our special guest today. So, maybe let's start from 10,000 feet again. So, oh, that even fits to geography, right? Or transportation network at perspective. Yeah, so what is that transportation network? What is it used for? Why is it relevant? Is it relevant?
I always consider the transportation network itself with all of its master data objects as the foundation layer for probably all of the transportation management processes. I mean, you will probably not find a user interface where you don't have an address, which then relates to a location. And if you are going deeper into the TM processes, you kind of need connection information when you're doing the planning or when you're doing charge calculation. So for me, it's a very important part, but maybe Mike can say a few words about that from the customer perspective.
Oh, no, it's critical. It drives all of the planning processes, whether they're manual or optimization. And addresses, of course, are critical for all communication with carriers. It's absolutely the foundation.
And charges as well, right? So a lot of transportation charges are also kind of distance or geography related, remembering that use this cost thing. Exactly. May come to that. Yep. Later. Okay, good. That's a thing. So then we can continue with it. So it's relevant, so we can continue with the recording. That's good.
Yeah, and maybe one additional word, why it's also relevant. I mean, if you find it in all TM business processes somehow, it's, of course, very performance critical. Since we're talking about mass data, we're talking about a real quick access to that data. And everything that we can do in building the transportation network efficiently will help all of the TM processes.
And I think you can set up a lot of things, and you can also set up a lot of things wrong.
So that's right. Also
part of exactly. Exactly. We had a customer recently in the U.S. that defined a network. One location, one source location is a pilot. They model it as close to 20,000 lanes, and after a bit of redesign and looking at some lessons learned, a broader picture, we were able to simplify down to 1,000 lanes. So it makes a big difference. So a clear understanding of all these concepts is critical.
Okay, thanks a lot. So sounds like an interesting episode here, huh? Okay, so we already heard some things like address, etc. So maybe let's look at the involved objects from a high-level perspective, and then in the second round, dive a bit deeper. So what are the things we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, I think the major cornerstone for the transportation network is, of course, the location. I already mentioned the address. So just imagine you have an order. You type in the address where to deliver the stuff. Then that relates and automatically leads to a master data location in TM. And hereby kind of sets the cornerstone how the process is going to work when you're doing the transportation planning or the charge calculation.
So basically the location represents a physical location.
Yeah, right. It can represent a warehouse, it can represent a factory or a customer location, typically, or a transshipment location or hub.
Yeah, we dive a bit deeper into that one in the second round anyway. Okay, so that is one basic element. We visit it later again with some more details, right? Next thing, what is what else? Zones, you already mentioned, can be zone.
Yeah, right. I mean, within a typical transportation management system, you can have very, very many locations. So, and that makes it kind of complicated to define a complete process, since you would need to define the process for each of the involved locations. So that came to the idea, or led to the idea, to have transportation zones kind of grouping locations together and then enable the definition how the process should run. For example, to transport goods from one region into another region, that would have required on location base very, very many connections. But now if you go up a level to the transportation zones, by grouping locations together, you can assign the process relevant attributes just to that zone connection.
So basically a zone is a group of location that belong together geographically, you could simplify.
Right, there are different mechanisms to group the locations. So we have, I think, a direct assignment. So just imagine you have all of your facilities and they are distributed all over the country. Or for example, you have airports and you don't want to figure out what would be the geographical assignment. You can assign them directly to a zone. Then we have the assignment using country and region, which is a very abstract level, or a high level. And then to have a more detailed assignment, you can also use postal codes.
Okay, I think we dive into that assignment stuff deeper in a second round then, right? First, just, so we are still on 10,000 feet, I think. So.
Do you already now want to mention the zone hierarchy, or do we want to postpone that?
Yeah, let's postpone it. First, just that we know that we mention all the objects first, and then dive one, then we can better can do some cross references. Next thing would be then, you already mentioned that you would combine or connect that zones, and I think for that you would have transportation transportation lanes and or /or trade lanes.
Right. Mm-hmm. To do a transportation planning, it is of course relevant to tell the system if I can transport goods from location A to location B. In a real-world example, can I transport goods from Mannheim to Hamburg? And this can be expressed using transportation lanes. So there are some planning-specific attributes attached to that, but we come to that later.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, it's always confusing to see transportation lanes, which are very planning-specific, and trade lanes. Trade lanes are used more for, let's say, capacity and business share management from a very high level perspective. So where you more or less say, I have a contract on that trade lane, which currently does not relate to a planning process.
Good. That is, so we now have the single entities, the locations, we covered the grouping of them, we connected them with transportation lanes and trade lanes. I mean, you already mentioned I can go from Hamburg to Mannheim or vice versa directly. That would be the role of the transportation zone. But if I can't go directly, I think we need more elements to model that, right? To define, because I can go also to Chicago or Minneapolis, but bit of a challenge to do that directly, so I would need to crosstalk and
right.
What is that?
And since we do not do a planning using all of the involved locations or available locations, you need to tell the system where you can switch, for example, a truck from a truck to an airplane or from a truck to a ship or vice versa. And this is done in the transportation network by defining a transshipment location. I guess our customers would call it a hub. And there you simply say, if I have a reachability from my start location to that hub, and I, for example, have a transportation lane, I can change the goods there and use a different connection. That could be, for example, a schedule then.
And I would just add to that, there's there's also so in that type of a move mm-hmm. where there's an ocean movement, right, with mm-hmm. ports involved, then we have to also talk about the booking, which isn't necessarily the master data, but it works in conjunction with the transshipment locations and the transportation lanes mm-hmm. to define a complete multimodal movement.
Yeah, I think we come to that schedule / booking / freight order / connection cache thing later if we dive one level deeper. So I think we pretty much, okay, we covered all the object from a 10,000 feet perspective. And since we are in our TM podcast, we dive now deeper, right? So let's go into the location. So what is it, what I can define in the location in a bit more detail? And then, what is a location versus shipper consignee business partner? So, yeah, maybe that's a good starting point for the location, right? What is the location? What is a business partner? And where's the difference?
Yeah. So maybe from just practical experience in the field, most customers, certainly all shippers and probably most carriers as well, would start with the master data in ECC, in an ERP system, which would consist of vendors, carriers is also vendors, customers, plants, shipping points. That's all pretty clear. And when you bring those over to TM, we always want to set the SIF integration model so that it generates a business partner in addition to the location. The location type mapping is fixed. All customers become location type customers. And there's one small thing on the vendors where carriers come over a little bit differently based on an account group. And kind of one confusing point is carriers are no longer visible as a location, only as a business partner, and that's intentional. And then the other thing I just mentioned about the location types is there's way more location types in TM than there are integration from ECC. And as we continue to expand additional releases and rail, that will continue. So that's a open point for future discussion.
Yeah, sure. And I think it also comes from non-ERP integration customers like our LSPs, which are not bound to the ERP objects, right, Marcus? So that is where that additional location types are coming from, like ports, etc., which has no equivalent in the ERP world, but in the physical world, and to make that all a bit more, real world or closer to real world, I think we have that additional location types.
Right, and in addition, I have to mention that, I mean, the location type is probably only used in the selection of a location in some user interface. It is not really steering TM processes.
Yeah, I think there are kind of rumors you can see on and off, right, that, mm-hmm. okay, do I have to use that location type, or doesn't that work with that one? So basically, that is kind of... what to call it?
Future enhancement.
Yeah, future enhancement. What I mean is, if you think that something depends on the location type, most likely you didn't watch carefully enough or something else was driving it. So.
And then one other really important point is the question is for locations that aren't naturally customers or vendors in ECC. And the example I would give would be ports and rail junctions, which are needed in TM for various multimodal scenarios. Best practice to set those up as vendor master records in ECC, and mainly for some additional functionality that's coming out with what's called a handover location. We're just take a quick example, right? We're going from Chicago to Frankfurt. It's an outbound scenario. And the shipper is responsible for the transportation to the port of Rotterdam. Mm. So we need that Rotterdam location set up and ideally defined in the order in ECC. Mm. So that once that comes over to TM, we can plan accordingly. The other thing I would mention, and again, that kind of distinction between a location and a business partner, because they seem a bit redundant. They're not, and it's very important when you send an order over to TM and we build a freight unit, we have a source and destination location, which are the locations. We also have a shipper and consignee. which by default are exactly the same addresses, right? Mm. A bit redundant. But in the scenario that I just mentioned, where we have, you know, we're planning to a certain point, mm. now in the freight unit and subsequent documents, the consignee would be the final destination location, but this destination location could be Rotterdam, right? Yeah. And the
or
consignee
construction ground, I think, also an example.
Exactly.
There really the address is completely decoupled from the address of the.
Yep, and that's an important point for tax, for GTS integration.
I think in the location itself, what you also can define is things like opening hours. I think that's also one important point. I don't know, is it part of transportation network geography? But so if your customer has certain hours where you can deliver, or you have a warehouse where you don't work on weekends, let's say in Waldorf, you will need to model that, and you can do that in the location.
From my perspective, that is the time dimension of the transportation network. So the network does not only define from a geography perspective what is possible, but also from a time perspective. Mm-hmm. So that is a very important attribute of the location. We also have the assignment of handling resources. But that really goes into detail now for the planning.
The world.
Sure. To go a little step back, I think when you are defining the transport the transportation object location, first you type in the address, or it comes using the ERP integration, and out of that address we determine a position. So a geocoding is run by default. This is on not so high accuracy, but if you have a external system attached, we define a position which relates then to a longitude and latitude coordinate. And this is really crucial from a performance perspective, but also from a planning perspective to in the later process to have accurate planning results. So this is really a key topic where any customer should think about.
Okay, so we not only have an address, but we also can geocode mm-hmm. that longitude latitude for it. I mean, first thing to display it on a map, not where is it? Just before Africa, right? So 00 location. So GIS is not set up typically. There's a lot of locations in Atlantic Ocean before Africa. Mm-hmm. I think that is a topic in its own to go into detail, that GIS setup, but very high level, you can connect to different providers. Do we deliver any standard geocoding, or what level of standard geocoding?
Yeah, we deliver standard geocoding level on country region basis. Mm. So to at least have a coordinate, which is not in the Atlantic Ocean. But this is, if you have a high demand for a good planning process, definitely not sufficient. But we can cover that
Okay.
Future podcast.
So we have the address, we have the location type, we have it geocoded. We already said we have the opening hours defined. By the way, they are kind of bit indirectly defined using a resource, handling resource for inbound and outbound.
Yep.
You already mentioned you can even define that you have a finite capacity in terms of parallel trucks that you can unload, right? So
typical use case, we have a customer in North America that has a constraint at their shipping facility based on loading capacity. So they'll enter in orders and, you know, just based on random scheduling, they'll have way more trucks to ship on a day than they can actually load and ship out. So by putting a loading resource calendar on the shipping point, it will then constrain that, and it will actually shift out then loads to a subsequent day that has capacity.
If you use scheduling, I think that is also important.
If you use scheduling.
Yeah, so that that's the master data part of it. Then you use scheduling, otherwise you can go into trouble, as we have
Yeah. And then the question, which customers get priority if there's too much on one day, and that, yeah, that gets into.
But talking about the network, you would define network, it on a location. Exactly. I think you can even define it per means of transport. So for truck, you would have different capacities.
Exactly.
Versus rail, versus air.
Yep.
If you fly in. Also. Okay. Then we talking the location, I think there is one, two more things relevant, that is the UN location codes and the IATA location codes. Just briefly, how does that relate?
I mean, this is very mode specific. I mean, there are international codes defining a location identifier, sort of. For air, that is the IATA code, and more for the ocean process, this is the UNLO code. I mean, the UNLO code is generally used for very, very many locations, but in TM, it's probably only relevant for the ocean process. You can integrate that from external sources and store such codes in the TM customizing. And then when maintaining a location as master data object, you can assign such a code to the location. And then within TM user interfaces, for example, the forwarding order, you can then not only select the location by its ID, but also by such an alternative identifier like the IATA code. So typically, air dispatcher for bookings doesn't know a master data ID and just wants to type in the IATA code because he knows that. And then the location automatically pops up.
And I think for the UN low code, it's also kind of a grouping of locations. So like a typical one, our example is always US Chicago, which is Bushi, US CHI, right? Which is obviously not only one location, but a lot of locations, but people would know where that is.
But very important here, TM is not delivered with any content for such location codes. So there's always a requirement, if you want to use that in your scenario, you need to check where to get the data from and how to integrate that into the system.
Good. Enough for locations, or?
Yeah.
From a, let's say, 1,000-foot perspective. Okay. Then still on 1,000-foot, but now going to the zones and how to define them and how not to define them. Yeah. We already said a zone is a grouping of locations. So, yeah, maybe, Mike, maybe can you, from your experience, describe a typical zone setup for North America?
So what
kind of zones are
they? Yeah, so for maximum flexibility, and I'll talk truck primarily because the other modes have slightly different concepts. But with North American truck, contracts with carriers or contracts between shippers and carriers are typically negotiated in terms of what carriers am I going to assign and what rate will I have on a particular lane is contracted at the most granular level, which is more the exception, but still relevant, is a 5-digit postal code level.
5-digit postal code means, so it's US and then
US.
All five. You have five digits in the US, right?
There's, okay, there's nine.
It goes to nine.
It goes to nine. Nine is almost a specific address. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it can be that, yeah, depending upon the geography and the complexities of the carrier and that network, could be negotiated at that level. What's very common is at 3-digit postal code level, which is a bigger geography. So a lot of shippers will negotiate with carriers. In other words, they'll bid and negotiate rates and carriers at that level. And then what we also see at a number of shippers, again, not as common as the 3-to-3, would be state to state, which is, again, even a bit higher. So we define a zone hierarchy, which goes, and what's also fairly common is a level in between the three and the state is a kind of split state. But the key point there is, for planning purposes, transportation lane determination, when you are defining zones with a zone hierarchy in play, it's absolutely critical to define the geographic definition of the zone, which is, if you go into a zone, you can define it either individual locations, which is not best practice, or based on either postal code ranges, or based on region, right? Okay. So it's important that you only define the geographic definition, meaning the postal code range or the region, at the zone at the lowest level in the hierarchy. And then the higher level zones you just define with empty geographic information. And then you build them up in the hierarchy, in the transportation zone hierarchy. And that often gets missed because you won't get reliable results. In other words, the transportation lane determination could deliver a random result and deliver a lane at a higher level.
Yeah. I think we should, since that is so important, maybe let's go to that example step by step. So when I have a location and it's assigned to a 5-digit zip code, 3-digit, etc. So what would I need? So we already have our location. We sifted from ERP, right? It has an address in the US.
Exactly.
So what's next?
So then I would define if I want to have that kind of maximum flexibility with the zone hierarchy with 5-3 state level, I would define all of my 5-digit postal code lanes typically with the naming convention US-_state_ and then postal code. Same with Canada, Mexico.
So first, would I in that zone? I would create a location for it.
The
zone itself. Yep. Okay.
And that's a kind of a confusing point as well, because technically it creates a location behind the scenes, which can no longer be viewed within the location transaction, but it's just a zone.
Okay. So technically it's a location. I think in the old days and TPVS days, was also visible, but now
you got to be careful there, because some people are tempted to go into the old SCM transaction and
maybe that's also
enrich it there with geo coordinates, and that's not the approach.
Maybe that's a very good point. I think if you go into TM transportation network, since we are based on SCM basis, the SCM basis master data is also kind of accessible.
And the transactions.
In the transactions.
But don't use them.
Exactly. So you always go through a TM pass, and then you would see the data that also is used in TM. And
otherwise, it can cause troubles. In that case, you would define your 5-digit postal code zones. When you define your 3-digit and state level.
Let's finalize that. So we were at the naming convention. We have a name for that 5-digit zone. So how would I now define that it's... what are the locations that fall into that zone?
Yeah, within the zone, there's a tab. There's three different tabs, like individual locations, postal code, and region. You go to the postal code tab and put in the range.
Okay, the postal code range.
So if the postal code is Chicago 60101, at the 5-digit level, I would put in 60101. That's it. And then at the destination or on the 2 range of the postal code, 60101-9999 to make sure that we pick up the 9-digit postal codes.
And one important thing to mention here is that we added the flexibility to also exclude locations from a transportation zone to add a geographical definition, for example, like Mike just explained, using postal codes, and then to exclude specific locations. So just imagine you want to use that transportation zone only for customer locations, but not for your own facilities. You can, and you know your facility location, of course, then you can exclude that, and it will not be considered during the transportation planning and the transportation lane determination itself. So we had that request from several customers, but it of course adds some complexity in understanding your transportation network.
So you can include, we have that three options. So we already defined it per zip code. Then region, I think that will be very similar. So you define a country and region falls into. Then you have that direct assignment where you can also just enter locations and kind of manually define, okay, that zone consists of that location. And then for the second, region and zip code based, you can then exclude certain locations like your plant or your DC because you have an extra geography.
To Marcus's point, a lot of companies, based on, again, the way they contract, you might have, 3, 4, 5 shipping points within a geographic area. And you wouldn't want to define that just as one zone, because you contract one rate and, you know, carrier selection at that level. So there you may want to exclude those shipping points from the normal geographic zone and create a zone just for those shipping points. Mm.
Of course, that mechanism makes only sense if you do it for your fixed locations in the beginning when thinking about your scenario. This is nothing that you will change every day. Exactly. Since the maintenance effort for that would be way too high and the understandability of the results of the TM.
Okay. So now we defined our 5-digit zip code. I think, and now it really becomes relevant. How do I define that 3-digit zip code? As we said, the 5-digit zip code is the most specific one. So there must be kind of a relationship to the 3-digit zip code. How would I do that?
Yep. So step one, you go into the zone transaction, create the 3-digit zone. Mm-hmm. Just ID and name description, but don't put anything in the three tabs underneath, right? Leave all that. Then go in and to the zone hierarchy transaction, and then simply link together the 5-digit to the correct 3-digit zone. Okay. And likewise, 3-digit.
So even though it's a 3-digit zone, I wouldn't define that 3-digit in the definition, right?
Yeah,
that
it's counterintuitive, but it's very, very important.
Right, it's basically an empty zone. It's just the anchor to use it in the hierarchy.
Exactly. And so when we do lane determination, the system always works from the bottom up, starting with the lowest level lane. Hmm. So it's important we only ever determine the 5-digits. And then it works its way up the hierarchy.
It starts with the location pairs, right? Then you can even define if it, then it goes up the hierarchy. And I think it also makes a difference if it starts with the source going up or with the destination location going up, right? You could have something from your plant to the 5-digit zip code and vice versa from the source 5-digit zip code to this location, then that makes a difference.
Yeah, so if you had a 5 to 5 and a location to 3, the question is, which one would it find first, right? Because one's more specific on one side. And
that is some of the customers, you can define that sequence, right?
Right.
But that's already advanced then.
It is.
Okay, but you can define it. Yeah. Okay, so we have defined our zones. I think the same principle goes up then, right? Only the first level, the 5-digit zip code in our example, would be defined by geography. And everything above would be a grouping of that zone. So the 3-digit zip code is a grouping of 5-digit zip codes, the state or substate, and all the way up till you have a world zone. So. And then a universal zone.
Yeah.
I think at least we have enough space in our distance unit that we can cover the complete universe, right?
Sure, so, we can.
Good. Do we have light here? So it's can be easily added. Okay. Anything else that we should know about zones? So we define, would I define it? What is the three options?
One additional thing is, in general, it's not a problem within the system to have overlapping zones by definition. So if you model different scenarios, it is technically and also from a perspective okay to, for example, include one postal code in multiple transportation zones, but you should really do that on purpose. So it might be in one process you want to get a specific transportation lane on that zone level being picked up, and in a different process you want the other zone to be considered, but this really needs to be thought through from the beginning. So as a rule of thumb, it is probably a good idea to start with non-overlapping zones. And the system will tell you as soon as you create a transportation zone where already such a definition exists. And then you should make your mind up if you really want that, or if you could kind of reuse the other transportation zone. Because of course, if you introduce overlapping zones, the system at a certain point in time needs to make a decision which transportation zone in that process is relevant. And that first costs performance. It is harder to explain, and maybe it's not required.
I think that the only place where it could make sense is like for different modes also, right? If you have this alternative worlds where you say I group for trucking with zip codes and for say rail following.
I mean, there are scenarios where that might be relevant.
Then you wouldn't have an overlap within one scenario, right? So it would be from a global perspective, from 10,000 foot, it would be an overlap. But then if you go into the means of transport, it would be
different. You really have to know what you're doing. And if you want to touch base quickly on geocoding the zones themselves versus locations, or that's another.
Yeah, I mean, the geocoding of the transportation zones is only used in TM now for displaying the transportation zone on the geomap. There's no other spot where it's relevant. In the past, there was a very, very specific case when we used the coordinate for the transportation zones for kind of estimating the distance. But when it comes to a real planning process, this is only used on the transportation network object location. And we completely ignore what is maintained on the transportation zone level.
One more question I would have is, since you have kind of like five-digit zip codes, or quite some of them, are any upload mass maintenance things to be considered here? Or
for both objects, so the location and the transportation zones, standard BARPs are available. And from my experience, I mean, if you know how you want to build the network, it's not so complicated to write a report following that pattern to create the transportation zones. So there's not so much data involved to assign the definition, or at first to create the zone header and then to assign the definition to that. So of course it's kind of development effort, but it's probably worth the effort, since nobody wants to maintain, I guess, 3- and 5-digit transportation zones manually. But maybe Mike has some experience about it.
We built custom programs using those BAPIs to do the mass upload for both the zone definitions and the zone hierarchy.
Maybe it's also something we can. Good thing to share in the community then. No? Okay, good. So that's the mass maintenance aspect of the zone. I think that's pretty much it. Well, maybe just doing a little excursus to going, you already mentioned the map. So can I see that object on a map? Where would I see that? Just as a side topic.
Yeah, starting with TM80, we introduced a geomap component into the standard functionality using SAP Visual Business as the display component, and in the menu path for the transportation network itself, you find the transportation network cockpit, and this is from the background thought to be the central point of access for the network objects. So we want in the future that you do not access the master data transactions separately, but that you use the transportation network cockpit, search for your object, or even create the object there. You immediately get it visualized. Is it at the right coordinate? Do I have the right attributes attached? Then to immediately see, for example, for a location in which transportation zone it is included, so that you don't need to jump between transactions. And if you want to maintain process specific attributes, that you can directly open from the geomap the specific master data transaction, maintain your attributes there, and then immediately come back to the network cockpit. So I think it's very useful to understand how you build your network and to get it immediately visualized, and also to check if the quality of the data is good enough.
Okay, but I think that also requires a GIS backend for the map display, right? Also not delivered out of the box.
Yep.
That I think, that will be a follow-up podcast and all that integration of GIS renders. But I think that's very important in that context. Okay, so now we have locations well-defined, including opening hours. We have them grouped into zones in a good way, not mixing up the different zones, no overlap if not required. So we have to connect them in a way, right? So that coming back to the transportation lane / trade lane aspect, what are the two, and then what can I define where as a practice again?
Yeah, so basically the transportation lane has very planning specific attributes. So with what means of transport, within which validity, with which cost can I transport goods from location A to location B. And now here's the clue. You don't need to maintain that now for location lanes, but you can also maintain it for transportation zones and even tell the system use that transportation lane when transporting stuff within that zone. So this is a so-called intra-zone transportation lane.
So in a very, very, very simplified world where it would just have all locations in one zone, no five-digit, three-digit, any digit.
Yep.
Zones, but only one zone. The minimum that I would need to connect the two would be all locations assigned to that zone with kind of star geography assignment.
Yep.
And then the intra zone, which is then has a, I think it's a transaction for that. If you maintain the transportation lanes, would define as an intra zone or zone to zone lane or location zone lane. And then so it would be intra zone lane. You define a means of transport, and we can come to that later. And then geography done.
Yeah, right. Very often we see the newbie consultants struggling very much with getting the first planning scenario to run when setting up the network for it. But as Bernd explained, you only need actually one transportation zone, one transportation lane, one means of transport for that, and then you're ready to go. Of course, you need to start in the destination locations, setting up your freight order then, but then already the optimizer, if set up correctly, would be able to ship that stuff from A to B. So, of course, most of the scenarios are more complicated, but really, if you can define within the system a general reachability with an intra-zone lane on the highest level, and that is sufficient to get your first planning run through.
And I think one very important point is you said A to B, so that zone, the transportation zones are directional. So if I define something from A to B, now leaving that intra zone world, but coming to a real, more realistic world where I have like five digit zip code to five digit zip code, if I have a lane from Chicago to Atlanta zone, that does not mean that I can use the same means of transport for the opposite direction. I think that's a by intention.
That is by intention. Yeah.
So I have I define A to B. I think there's also a common newbie mistake that you, from the optimizer perspective, that all the resources are caught in one location because you have a lane from A to B but not back. So there's and at the end of the day a huge collection of resources from the optimizer perspective in B, because they can go there but can't go back.
Yeah, so you underline the importance of testing your scenario in the beginning. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Well, one additional point for the North American market. With 9.0, we have what's called destination-based distance cost calculation, which is a setting on the planning profile. And just a couple words from the network perspective. What you would do there is you would define your lanes, 3-3, state to state, whatever we've contracted with the carrier. But what we don't need when we use that technique is we don't need intra customer lanes. So what we typically do there is set up at the top of our zone hierarchy, we would have country or region level. So we would set up a lane at the US to US or North America to North America, Canada to Canada, with those truckload means of transports that we use the destination-based distance cost calc, so that essentially all customers are connected to all customers. The optimizer can build multi-stop loads. The only trick there is we want to put a very high cost on that, higher than the cost of non-delivery, because we never want to use that lane for planning, just for the customer to customer.
Mm. So that's already a specific topic, right? Now, let's say in a normal world or without that specific task, if I now would have a scenario where I would deliver from A to B to C, what would I need? So we already said, okay, in an oversimplified world, I would have one zone with one zone to zone or intra-zone lane. But realistically, if I go from Chicago to Atlanta through something in the middle, where, for example, Boston, I don't know. No?
Yeah.
You see?
Interesting routing.
Yeah. And to avoid that routing, I would set up my geography. So theoretically, what would I need? So I have you already mentioned means of transport. Maybe we should kind of spend some words on means of transport as well. So I think in TMWorld, we start with a transportation mode category, which is really air, ocean, rail, what else? Road. Yeah, that is our four mode categories. On top of that, you can maintain modes. That's already customizing.
Yeah, right.
Like the only example where we have two modes for the same cat is inland, waterway, and ocean.
That's but right.
It's customizing. And then you maintain means of transport. In a trucking world, maybe that's the most important one. You would have, what is the granularity? What is the level where I would maintain a means of transport? Maybe, Mike, can you spend some words on your experience of how many means of transport would I have for a typical North American trucker or trucking setup? Yeah. So is it one per truck or, yeah, what is the level of granularity?
Yeah, and typically it would be one per size and type of vehicle. Right. In the U.S. or in North America, the vehicle sizes are pretty uniform. We have 53-foot, 48-foot. We have vans, and those could be what we call dry van, temperature control or temp control, refrigerated, frozen, or multi-temp. And then we also have flatbeds for types of products, which don't go well in a van. So at a minimum, and then you would have, depending upon the complexity of the shipper, you may have, that's all kind of on the package side. Mm. On the bulk side, we could have a bigger variety, right? Different types of, dry and for example, bulk salt would go into a particular type of container or tanker. Liquid, obviously, into different ones. Kind of the level that it's really driven by any characteristic of the equipment or vehicle that would influence the carrier that we're going to assign or the rate that we pay.
Yep.
And the rate that we pay, we want different means of transports for optimization.
Okay. Yeah. But could mean that I could have like 10 different means of transport. But I think in a transportation network, I would not need to maintain all of the 10 on the lane level to express the accessibility. I think we have something like a hierarchy also. So if I have like 10 different means of transport, which are temperature controlled or non-temperature controlled or that kind of thing, but let's say from a geographical perspective, they are the same. I can and I could, should, I think also from a performance perspective, group them in the means of transport hierarchy and then assign that group, means of transport group to the actual transportation lane.
Right?
Or anything special?
Yeah, we found that one customer where on the package side, the lanes were pretty uniform at a 3-to-3. Mm-hmm. But on the bulk side, because of the differences in the carrier base and how they operate, we had to go to a more detailed level. So bulk lanes, we set up 5-to-5 and packaged at 3-to-3.
Okay. So that already gives us like two hierarchies, right? One is a geographically specific hierarchy, so 5-to-5. And the other one is the more specific means of transport that I have to consider. So if I set up my geography, I also have to consider that means of transport pretty early, how all that fits together.
And LTL, for example, we typically set up at a shipping point to state level. Because when you look at the geographic coverage and service level of LTL carriers, it's at a higher level. So, when you build your network and your transportation lanes, it tends to be very means of transport specific. In other words, fit for purpose. Don't assume that you have to, go to the lowest level and be consistent across all your means of transport. You always want to maintain the lanes at the highest level possible.
Coming to that lane maintenance, I think we already said it is start location, target location, so it's directional, we covered that. It's a means of transport that I defined there,
right?
Which can be a grouping of other means of transport. I think also things like you can maintain a distance duration, but I think that is only kind of not the straightforward case, right? Maybe some words on distance durations on a lane versus real ones?
Yeah, when creating the transportation lane and defining start and destination, the system is already capable of calculating a proposal out of the coordinates of start and destination, which you can then define as fixed. But typically, I mean, in some customer scenarios, it is sufficient to enter their rough value and to get the scenario running. But typically, during planning and charge calculation, you want to have an accurate distance, which is then dynamically during the process determined. So these fields, I guess, are only relevant if you fix them and if you really have a process not requiring accurate data.
Exactly. Or maybe intentionally you can say everything from that zone to that, or from that location to that zone is considered 100 kilometer or 24 hours for transit time, because you like for LTL.
Right. But as we have explained, to get a first planning scenario to run, and you don't have a GIS connected, you don't have accurate coordinates, and so you don't need to maintain all of that. You can define the distance and the duration, you can fix them, and already then the scheduler and the vehicle and scheduling routing would be able to give you a result which kind of relates to what you've maintained there. Because if the optimizer is not really good with planning, with activities with a zero duration or zero distance, so we kind of need something. And if you want to get a first scenario running, this these are the fields to use. But in general, we don't see that so often.
I think that's the means of transport level on the lane, I think, but also important, and then you can maintain that, optimize the cost there to go that specific, right? And then, of course, one challenge is to get it in sync with the real freight cost, I think.
These are, I guess, 10 podcasts and
in the future. Yeah, that's more the optimizer corner of it. But I think one thing we have to mention is the carrier assignment, right? Okay. So it's not only that you maintain the means of transport there, but also the carrier. That's what Mike also mentioned, that the carrier availability relates to the means of transport. Also, I think that is where it comes together, right? So for means of transport on a specific lane, I could maintain carriers. Maybe some words from your side, Mike, on that one. So what would I define there for the carriers on that lane for per means of transport? Is it one carrier that can that I can define?
No. It could, we've seen examples of from 1 to 10 or 20. It really depends on the volume, the relationship with the shipper and the carrier. So that can be anything.
Can be any, so multiple carriers. So how would I kind of bring them into a sequence or order, kind of seamlessly? I mean, I know it's carrier selection is a topic in itself, but maybe high level, what are the things that I can maintain there?
High level, a couple of strategies: cost or priority, of course. So we define that separately. There's new fields as of 8.0 to define which tendering step they would go on to, a broadcast or a peer-to-peer, and a priority sequence there. So the idea was to support, which is again fairly typical in North America, maybe have a set of primary carriers, secondary, and maybe even a tertiary carriers with different tendering strategies.
Okay.
And of course the challenge, just to touch on, obviously you're gonna have a different rate for each carrier. We have the means of transport distance costs on the lane, which is used for optimization. So that's always a big topic on how do we maintain that rate
together.
And then that doesn't include fuel.
You can maintain the role of a carrier on that specific lane and means of transport in terms of, is it my primary? So I have a priority. Okay. You have some planning costs for that. You can also predefine business shares and then min-max kind of thing for allocations, which is then stored in allocation business share. I think another topic, not topic of today.
Yeah.
So the role of the carrier high level.
To summarize, you can define very, very many attributes and at the transportation lane level, which are in very many different processes and TM relevant, I guess.
Okay, that's a nice summary. It covers pretty much everything, right?
It does.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I would say that with future functionality, the concept or the you know, functionality of transportation and trade lanes, which are a bit overlapping, will continue to evolve. Leave it at that.
Good. So now we have our locations. We have them in zones. We have them connected directly, but we covered already that aspect of indirect delivery, cross-docking hub kind of thing. So how would I, and then most likely I wouldn't, or my customer wouldn't like me to cross-dock at his location. So well, how would I say, how would I define that cross-docking? We already learned that obviously the location type doesn't play a role. Even so, if you call something hub, it's not by default a hub. But how would I define that?
Yeah, right. You don't define it as you would probably intentionally expect on a location itself, because we have more specific scenarios where you don't say by location, I am a hub, but you say in the TM layer, I am a hub for a specific location, a specific set of locations defined by a transportation zone. So to give a real world example, if I'm shipping stuff out of Germany and I plan to do that using a port, then I would say, let's pick Hamburg and Rotterdam. So I would not want to define for each of my facilities that I have a hub definition for each of these locations for Hamburg and Rotterdam. But no, you would say, I have a transport out of Germany, so the relevant hub locations for ocean transportation are Rotterdam and Hamburg. So this is really crucial, and I think it's also very important to consider the direction, how you want to use that hub.
Direction means it's also directional, if I can use it.
Right. Do I ship stuff out of Germany or do I receive stuff into Germany? So you always need to do it kind of into both directions.
Okay. So you assign a location directly or through zones to such a hub location again, but that hub is a location. It also shows up as a location. Okay.
And another important thing to mention here, just by defining that hub assignment to the transportation zone, you don't automatically make it available. You just make it available by defining a real reachability using a transportation lane or even a schedule to come out of that zone to that port, to stick to the example. So it's not sufficient to just go into that assignment and automatically expect that the optimizer will consider that. There is a new functionality that I just want to quickly mention here, where you can tell now the system use a rough planning duration. So for example, sticking to the example, I know that I always can transport the stuff to that port within a day. And that is sufficient then for the optimizer to already do a rough planning, but it's very important to understand the scenario that you are running here. In general, you need a reachability out of that zone to the port.
That's anyway a very good point. So we stopped at the means of transport level. Of course, for the optimizer itself, you would not only need a means of transport to get some, but a resource also. And all resources are assigned to means of transport.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And new, by the way, means 9.0, right? So we are in 2013 now.
Right.
Yeah. 9.0 is out and available. We have either resource assigned to means of transport or, and that maybe leads us seamlessly into the default route schedule topic, which is next. I could also have a schedule to get from A to B, not a single resource or so, but a schedule to get there.
Maybe right. Some words on that. Yeah. So a typical example that we support with TM is a multimodal transportation. So where you actually have a real truck doing your pre and on carriage to or from, coming from the port or airport, and within or for the main stage, you then have a schedule defined which expresses from, let's say, from a carrier view, my ship departs at the harbor at a certain point in time. And if you want to ship stuff with my ship, then you need to be there with your truck by a certain time. So we have different options in the system to express a connection, or if a connection is available, and a schedule is one of those.
Okay. Yeah. What else would we have? So schedule, which is kind of a, you know, when does my ship leave? I think something similar would be a booking order, right, that you have for location A to location B, freight order.
Yep.
Would be the same thing, existing one. And then, of course, available resource. That would do the job on the lane then, right? So it's not only that we need the geography, but we also need an instance of freight order, TOR, technically, booking order, schedule, or resource to do the actual job
then. Yeah, so the connection between a start and the destination is coming from the master data side, the transportation lane or schedule, and coming more already from a business process, the business documents, freight order, or booking. So it depends on the scenario, which one you want to use. I mean, in a typical multimodal process, you probably have already a booking for a specific scheduled departure. But if you don't, you still want to check all of the schedules in your system. Do I probably need to make a booking to transport that? I mean, if it's not a regular route that you're using, and it's something you very seldom have, then probably you don't by default create the booking.
So maybe now, as we touched all of the elements, nearly, maybe we can now make like a round trip coming maybe from ERP already, get our locations over, setting up geography in the model, using schedules to get from A to B, and troubleshoot if that's not working. So just to, you know, high level. So once more, I would, in a shipper scenario, I would transfer my, ERP object, like customer, vendor, etc., to TM. I think one common or important thing is, since we can connect multiple ERPs to one TM, we may have to do some mapping, that prefix suffixing. So since a customer and the supplier 1000 can exist in ERP, we need like a prefix for that we can distinguish, because the location ID must be unique. And since we can have a customer 1000 in ERP 1 and in ERP 2, I also would need a suffix for the system, logical system, typically, including the client. Then we have our location in TM. Next thing would be the zone assignment, right? So all locations would go into one, or if intentionally, multiple zones. Then I would combine zones with transportation lane for planning. And with that, I could already, if I have resources in a very simple scenario assigned to that lane, I could already start planning.
Right.
Okay. More realistically, I would have some hub locations also involved. So if I, but not more realistically, but if it's an intermodal, multimodal scenario, I would define hub locations where I could switch between the different means or modes of transport even, and have then between that locations, that hub locations, again an reachability, which is again by transportation lanes coming from zones or directly, or schedules, bookings, freight orders, right? By the way, we already talked about cross-docking. Is there a limitation? So how often can I cross-dock?
Yeah, this is defined in the planning profile. There you can, by scenario, define how often you allow a transshipment. Of course, it's important to understand that the higher the number, the longer the runtime, because the options to transship, of course, spread out the transportation network itself.
Yeah. If you cross-dock often enough, I think you can go from anywhere to anywhere any network.
Yeah, probably. I mean, in the in a typical flight network, it's easier to go around the world with just maybe one or two transshipments, but in each transportation mode, it's possible to define a optimizer solution really using so many transshipments. Okay. Don't do it.
If it's, yeah. If you use the optimal, of course, if you manually enter the different stages in a freight unit, that's, of course, not a limitation. Mm-hmm. What we are now talking about is an automatic planning with transportation proposal or the optimizer, where the optimizer would find or evaluate the alternatives. And, of course, if I can cross-dock 10 times, then I have a lot of alternatives to be considered.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just one thing, we skipped that default route thing for a freight unit. Maybe should we spend some words on that one? Just briefly, I think we covered the geography, but if I have such a cross-docking scenario sometimes or pretty often, I have also have a predefined way of going from A to B for a freight unit. Freight unit, by the way, was TMP-001. So who's anyone not knowing what a freight unit is, please listen to TMP-001 first.
Yeah, I mean, a default route after we have kind of experienced that if you have a regular schedule network allowing multiple transshipments, we have, as Bernd mentioned, very many alternatives. And at the customer side, we see that they immediately know when they ship stuff out of that port or out of that airport and into a different part of the world. They know immediately where they want to transship. And this is kind of the definition of a default route, where you lay an abstraction layer over that schedule network and say, in a general regular process, if I go from there to there, then I will use these schedules, and this is defined then in a default route.
Except you would not go from Chicago to Atlanta through Boston, as I learned now, right?
Oh, very good, very good.
Okay, good. So that is the default route, kind of defines the stages through network end-to-end, more or less. So, yeah.
Of course, there's more behind, and there are different scenarios supported by that, and the default route is used in different processes and user interfaces, but I guess that is the main point for having a default route, as the name says.
Okay, maybe as kind of closing section, we can maybe talk about troubleshooting. So let's say I set up everything according to what we just said, but still I don't get my freight unit delivered. So what are my tools that I can use to...
I mean, first of all, it, of course, depends on the process where you use the network objects. Mm-hmm. If you want to check, is the master data itself okay? I would again propose to use
on that one,
I would again propose to use the transshipment the transportation network cockpit to check it on the map, because you really get a better understanding, is that location correctly assigned to the transportation zone if you use the standard functions available there to connect objects. First of all, you immediately see, is my location at the right position, which then would probably, if it's not, explain wrong distances or wrong durations. If it's not assigned to the right transportation zone, you kind of see that immediately. If it, I mean, you have a group of locations, and then you have a location completely somewhere different in the world, you kind of get an idea that maybe a wrong zone has been picked, and then of course a wrong transportation lane and wrong distance and wrong vehicle resource. And this is, I think, as the master data is the foundation, it's hard to tell by process how to check it. For, of course, for the planning process, there's an explanation tool where you see which master data is picked up for a planning run, but for carrier selection, the error might come from a completely different side then.
But if I just want to see, can I, from a network perspective, get from A to B, I would go to that GeoMap, master data cockpit. I think there are also reports for that, right?
Yeah, right.
That I could use.
So you have something like a find connection function in the GeoMap itself, but also, of course, since we support the product standard accessibility, we also have that function in a standard report where you can type in your start location and your destination location, how often you want to transship, and the system will give you an idea how it would link all of that hub assignments together. And for each stage, you will see, is there a connection available or not fitting to your entered data?
Connection was the schedule departure, right, or booking, or
okay.
I see. Kind of simulate if I would go from A to B. Okay, I think there are also some, since for performance reasons, we kind of buffer some of that data. I think there are also some reports that kind of in case of problems could run. Where would I find them? Is there a place where I would find that report, or is it in our show notes then?
I think all of the standard reports are, of course, available in the menu. Mm-hmm. So, for example, to do a mass geocoding, and very important for the process performance is the pre-filling of the distance used in the processes. So you should always, after running, for example, ERP SIF integration for the locations, schedule then the distance determination if you require that data. So all of these reports are available in the menu. Of course, there are some very technical consultant-related reports that you have to learn from time to time.
Okay. Should we mention Shadow Zone?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, I think that is one of the tables that assignment of location to zones is in a and separate that, table, yeah, and that needs to be up to date. That's the important thing, and it should. And, if you...
And that normally should work. It's just that's... With customers with big networks, it's important to utilize that shadow zone performance technique.
Yep. And then there's a report also to check it, but that's more for really troubleshooting from our set. Normally that should be up to date.
Yeah, you can also check the community for blog postings regarding that topic. We have, I guess, for all of the topics that we touched today, very specific information also, which nodes are involved, and some hints regarding that.
Yeah, I think that's a very good hint to kind of follow up things. So if you want to learn about geography, you go into SDN, the TM space, and then you search for MKS, Monday Knowledge Snippet, which is Marco's series of knowledge snippets about TM. And since he's our god of geography, there's a lot of geography in there. So I think that's also a lot of that and even more that we discussed, it can be found there. Different tricks, reports, how to set up GIS. I think GIS we kind of intentionally left out today. That will be in separate topic. So geocoding providers.
I mean, we at least touched in the topics where it's relevant and mentioned that there can be an external system, but it would be way too long today to.
Yeah, to the second one. Good. Any closing words except for that? But I think.
Happy networking.
Yeah. Goodbye and enjoy our transportation network. Bye.
Bye.